It's Family Sunday, and we say hello to those online. We're going to be talking about a very important subject today, and it's called honoring our covenant of peace and protection. Now, this is part two. Last week, we talked about peace. How many enjoyed or received instruction from our covenant? Now, when you come to Christ and you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you enter in a covenant relationship with God. Everybody say covenant. Now, covenant is not a contract. Just like marriage is supposed to be a covenant, not a contract. A contract is basically when you protect your rights and you relinquish your responsibilities. A covenant is when you surrender your rights and you assume your responsibilities. God is a covenant making, and he is a covenant keeping God. So he doesn't want casual or contractual relationships, because he said and he promised in his word, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. In other words, leaving is physical, and forsaking is abandoning emotionally and mentally. You know how some people can be in a relationship, but they're checked out in their heart. They're checked out in their mind. So you want to be there present, but you also want to be engaged with your heart and your mind. God says, I'll never leave you nor what? Forsake you. That means I'm never going to leave you, abandon you, and leave you alone or leave you in the lurch. Or I'm not going to take my heart away from you. Amen. Isn't that good? Yes. And so that's his promise to us. So he says, till death, and even through death, we'll never depart. We'll never depart. Because the psalmist was told, saying in Psalms 23, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of what? Death. You will fear no evil, for you are with me. God will walk with you through the deepest, darkest times of your life. Amen. Isn't that a good God? Yeah. So we're going to talk about this covenant-making, covenant-keeping God in the context of his promise to protect you. To protect you. And I'm going to use some folks to help me today in that concept. But we're going to first start off reading the protection covenant chapter. It's called Psalms 91. Now, if you hadn't got a clue, you've been around here long enough, we've encouraged, we've implored, we've exhorted people to read and receive Psalms 91 every single day. So we're going to read it. I'm going to read it out of the King James Bible. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is thy refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, and keep thee in all thy ways. And they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest they dash their foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, and young lion and dragons thou shalt trample under foot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Isn't that good? So we encourage people to read that every day. And here's what we want to convey to you up front before we get into some details. I'm going to call on some kids to come help me with the table illustration here. So there's a place in Christ where you can abide in the secret place of God's protection. Isn't that a good place? The world knows nothing about this secret place. So we're sharing some family secrets this morning. And so nor can the world live in this place, because you have to be in Christ. Therefore, if any man be where? In Christ, he's a new creation. So in Christ, you can be hidden and sheltered in safety in this secret place. It's a place revealed by the Holy Spirit, and it's for the willing, obedient, born-again, blood-washed believers and Christ followers. Our life, the Bible says, is hid in Christ, in God. So you can go to a place of safety and protection, ladies and gentlemen, most people don't know anything about. Y'all ready to go there? Okay. So I'm sure I don't have to tell you that we're living in dangerous times today. Television and media, before the news, wars, terrorist attacks, you know, disasters. We got the hurricane going on in the Gulf. We got the stuff happening in the Middle East. How many are awake this morning? You know what's going on, right? Record-breaking disasters, drug-related crime. There's more violence now than there's ever been in our lifetime. It continues to escalate. It's a sobering day. And we've talked about it last week and the week before, that fear has been the major weapon that has been controlling and really snaring people, trapping people. But we as born-again believers have nothing to do with fear. We are to have nothing to do with fear. We must resist fear. We must refuse to fear, no matter what, how shocking or how breaking the news is. Okay? And then, of course, when you're looking at things in the natural realm, it may seem scary, a scary time to live. But the supernatural realm, it's the most powerful time to live. Amen. Guys, ladies and gentlemen, he saved the best for last. Amen. You know, Jesus is coming back soon. All the signs and the symptoms of our age and day show that Jesus is coming back soon. And so we know that he saved us for the best of these last times. In a relay race, you know, I know the Olympics just finished, but in a relay race, you know, the anchor leg is the most powerful leg. We're the anchor leg of God's represented family, church on the earth. So this is the best time to be a Christian. This is the best time to be alive. And I said, Pastor, well, I don't know why you think that, because all this bad stuff is going on. But he gets to use us to be salt and light during these evil, dark times. Because he knows that we have a covenant with him through Jesus Christ. And we have a place of protection in God that will keep us completely safe. Amen. Now close your eyes and think about that for a minute. Completely safe from anything or anything ever to happen to you. Regardless of what is happening outside or around you, you can be completely safe. So before we think about going up and giving up, I want to encourage you to step up into that place of protection. Not every once in a while, every day. Everybody say every day. Every day. So my first two volunteers. Let me use a couple of the Torres girls. I don't know who. Angelina, Isabella, or Veronica. Two of y'all. Come on up. Which one do you want to volunteer? Let's read verse 1 again. Whenever y'all ready, come on up. So I believe these last days Jesus could come anytime, but until then we have to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Put it up on the screen. Okay, here it is. Let's all read it together. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So the shadow here means personal umbrella. So we'll give you this one, and we'll give you this one. Okay, you open yours up. You take the cover off. So you think of these two. Give them a hand again. They're doing a good job. So think of these two ladies as both individual Christians. Both have been given a personal umbrella of safety from God. But one keeps hers closed. Put yours up. Go ahead and open all that. Put the button. Yeah, it's kind of whoop. All right, put it over your head. There you go. Come in front so they can see you. Hallelujah. Just stand in front. There you go. Now what's happening? If it's raining, is the rain going to touch her? If it's raining problems, pain, the peril of today, she's protected under her personal umbrella. But what happens to this beautiful young lady? She's going to get wet. She's going to get poured out on. One's protected. One's not. But when it says shadow of the Almighty, that's where you are to abide under your personal protection umbrella. Come on, let's give the ladies a hand. Now, for helping me, now you can take it back there and put it down. You may have that one back. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you can be under your personal umbrella. Now it says, I will say of the Lord. Now we'll get to that in just a second. But I'm going to have the ushers help me with the adults, because we're going to go through 7 steps about how you need to protect your house and your stuff. We want to make it personal. So I need 2 ushers to help me. Come on up. Quickly. All right. All right. Just go get them from him. All right. Now, if you're online, you can look at our intranet if you're connected with us, and the information is there. We can send you these notes as well. But this is something we want you to keep close to yourself, and you get one to each adult. One to each adult. The kids have a separate handout. Thank you so much. All right, so instead of caving into fear, ladies and gentlemen, we can stand confidently on the word and walk boldly in our covenant of protection. Everybody say covenant. Of protection. Make sure the people in the overflow room get one, too, if they're down there. Any back there? All right. Thank you, Lord. Now, Jesus said some things in Matthew 24 before I get into that handout that you have in front of you. He said in verse 4, told them, don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name claiming I am Messiah. They're doing it today. They will deceive how many? Many people. And you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. So what am I telling you? Don't cave into fear. Turn to someone next to you and smile real nice to them. Say, don't cave into fear. Someone else and say, don't panic. All right. So all you will hear, yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go against go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world, but all this is only the first of the birth pains with more to come. Then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. Everybody say, don't panic.
Don't,
don't fear.
Don't fear.
All right. You're protected. You're protected. Verse 10, and many will turn from me and betray and hate each other, and many false persons will appear to deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere. It is. And love will, of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. Everybody say, I must
stay focused
on being the church and
building the church.
That's your job. Now on Wednesdays and starting next month in October, September and October, our subject is Wednesday night is We Are the Church. And Sunday is Be the Church. That's what we need to focus on. Amen.
Amen.
It's good that we all come to church, but we got to be the church and build the church. Everybody say, don't panic.
Don't panic.
And don't cave into fear. All right. So 2 Timothy 3:13, it says, evil men and seducers will grow worse and worse. That means all the shock and awe you've seen, we're going to see more shock and awe. I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they decided to do that. Don't panic. Don't fear. Because God's got you protected. If you abide under his shadow. All right? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And so the curse of destruction, the curse of devastation, the curse has been turned into a blessing. Why? Because we've received Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior. So this personal umbrella does not exist for unbelievers.
Amen.
And people who act like they're not saved or act like they don't belong to Jesus. You have to make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior and then activate this every day by faith. All right? Everybody good?
Yes.
All right, so our secret refuge. So God's word reveals your part and his part. So let's go to verse 1 and 2 again. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now everybody say verse 2 with me. Say, I will say.
I will say.
I will say of the Lord.
I will
say of the Lord. Psalms 91 verse 1 and 2. I'm waiting for them to catch up with me. We have it up there. Something's humming. It's the fan. We'll cut it off. It's coming out of the speaker. But everybody say, I will say of the Lord.
I will say of the Lord.
He is my refuge.
He is my refuge.
And my fortress.
And my fortress.
My God.
In
him will I trust.
In him will I trust.
So when do you need to do this? Everybody say, every day.
Every
and
day.
In every way.
Every
so I've encouraged people, I do it personally. I say, now you need to say a couple of things each day, but one of the things you need to say each day is Jesus is Lord. Now somebody said, well, I said it 10 years ago, 15 years ago. No, then you're really overdue to say it again. See, you have to personalize your daily profession or confession of faith. Jesus is Lord. Everybody say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my Lord and personal Savior. What does that mean? Jesus has absolute mastery. One of the definitions. Master. Lord means master, owner, ruler, controller.
Amen.
The one who tells you what to do. So if you just wake up and just, wipe your eyes off and start running out the house and running your mouth and checking your phone and doing your thing, then Jesus is not Lord, because you have to make him your Lord. You have to surrender and submit to his lordship. Because if he's your master, you don't do everything you want to do. You do what he tells you to do. Everybody understands master, right? Now, I know sometimes the concept of slave or servant doesn't necessarily fit well with us, but you have to tell him, Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my controller. You're my owner. You're the one who gets to tell me what to do. Everybody say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus Christ is my Lord and personal Savior. In other words, he's absolute master over death and all its phases. Come on now. Over Satan and all his works. Over hell and all its hosts. Over sin and all its consequences. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is my Lord. It's the greatest thing you need to say every day. And when you face a problem or a situation, you need to say, Jesus is Lord. You don't need to start wagging your tongue and talking out the side of your neck. You need to say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is going to take control over this. I give him ownership over this problem to fix it for me. Hallelujah. And then, of course, you need to say, when you say Psalms 91, you need to say of the Lord. It says very instructionally. Y'all can put verse 2 up, Psalms 91, verse 2. I will say of who? It's not a silent. That's why we don't read the Bible just silently in our minds. We read the Bible verbally with our heart attached to it. We have our heart hooked to it. I mean, that means we read it by faith. We feed the Bible. We just don't read the Bible. We say of the Lord. I will say of who? I will say to you, Lord, you are my refuge. You are my fortress. You are my God. That's what I say every day. In you, dear Lord, I trust and find a place of refuge. That means I'm getting into that secret place. I'm getting under that personal umbrella. Now, see, this, your part has to be done by faith. So you got your paper out? Everybody got your paper out? We're going to go through that. So first, your first part, as you see the highlighted part there, Psalms 91 is God's covenant of divine protection. It covers every danger, sickness, disease, assault, crime, tornadoes, fires, and any threats to your safety and well-being. Isn't that a good protection plan? Yes. Isn't that full coverage? Yes. Is that full coverage? Anytime, any day, anywhere, anyhow, any way, you are protected and divinely protected by God. So the first thing you need to do is fill the atmosphere. Fill the atmosphere. We live in two atmospheres. One's physical and the other's spiritual. You have to activate by faith, by your personal protection umbrella, by giving God, by you giving to you by God in Christ, and you have to say it, you have to take your protection plan, and you have to receive it. Now, sometimes if you're buying cars, you get a warranty on your car, and they say, well, you want this protection plan, you want this service plan, you want this, and sometimes you might decline it. How many know people decline their personal umbrella? They put it down. Why? Because you don't take it and you don't say it. And guess what? When you run out there in the rain of the spiritual tornadoes and hurricanes, you get blasted. Are you listening to me? Is that clear to everyone so far? So you have to say it. You have to receive the Lord as your refuge and shelter of safety, just like you do when you receive Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. Come on, now. You have to receive the Lord as your refuge and personal. Now, look at this. The name of the Lord is what? It's a strong fortress. The godly run to him and are what? They're safe. Some people say, well, I'm safe because I got insurance. I'm safe because I got full coverage on my car. I'm safe because, you know, maybe I just think I'm all that in a bag of chips. I'm the greatest thing since sliced cheese. No, you could only be safe. You could say, well, I get safe because I got security cameras. I got the video camera. I can see who's coming to my front door. No, that doesn't make you safe. They can still bust through your front door. Isn't that right? You're not safe because you have hired 5 security guards to walk around you or to monitor your house. Come on now. You're only safe in his arms. You're safe under the protection of the shadow of the Almighty. That's your place of safety. Amen. So the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe and set on high, far above evil. That's complete protection, ladies and gentlemen. Step number 2, protect your atmosphere. Romans 12:2 tells us not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of mind. So what happens? Media choices, the television shows, the movies, the music that promotes fear, worry, infidelity, divorce, anger, sexual immorality, opposed to the Word of God, and they weaken the protection around you, your home, and your family. You got people watching all kind of sin and sex stuff. You letting stuff get in your house. You're not protecting your atmosphere. Well, praise the Lord. You must do your part to keep the hedge of protection up and active. You must maintain an active protective posture like you do your physical house to ensure that the windows are closed and the doors are locked at night. You don't just leave your door open and windows open. I know you might need a breeze sometimes coming through there, but you shut everything down. You lock everything up. But people don't do that spiritually. Hallelujah. You got to protect your atmosphere. Everybody say, protect your atmosphere. See, when you take God as your refuge, ladies and gentlemen, you remove yourself from the influences of those things that are not God, of God, the voice of the world. What's not of God? The voices of the world. So if you're watching way too much TV and worldliness and sensuality, come on now, you're going to let some stuff in. I'm just being honest with you. You're going to let some stuff get in. And then you're going to wonder why the rats get in the house? Why these demons get in my house? Why did this destruction get in my house? Why did this devastation happen to my house? Why are we talking about divorce in my house? Unprotected. Are you listening to me? Look what Psalms 119, verse 37 says in the Amplified Bible. It says, turn my eyes away from vanity and all worldly, meaningless things that distract. Come on, you need to pray that prayer. Lord, turn my eyes from watching vanity and all those worldly, meaningless things that distract, and let your priorities be mine. Come on now. You need to pray that. But see, if your heart's corrupt, you don't want to pray that because you like what you're seeing. You like what you're looking at. But if your heart's following Jesus, if your heart's hooked up, tied up, tangled up with Jesus, then you have a degree of honesty and humility to say, Lord, I don't want to watch this. My flesh likes this. My feelings feel good about this, but I don't want to watch this. Take away my eyes. Sanctify my eyes. Cut my eyes off from this stuff. Get this trash out of my thought life. Come on now. And I surrender my all to you, Jesus, and I give you my heart, my soul, my mind, my eyes, my lips, my everything. Why? Because you got to protect your house. And God will help you protect your house if you do your part to protect the atmosphere of your house. You got to deal with evil, wrong spirits immediately. Look at verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me. What did he say? Therefore I will what? I will deliver him. Now write this down if you're writing on your paper. Write this down real quick as a reference. That word deliver there means to lift and carry to a safe place. To lift, everybody say lift, and carry to a safe place. This word deliver in the Hebrew. To lift you up. That means he's going to take you up and carry you to a safe place. Hallelujah. Have you ever walked in a room and you felt tension there? I heard some yes. So thick that you wanted to run away? A wrong spirit is usually the blame. James 4:6 says, for where there is envy and self-seeking exists, confusion and every evil work are there. Now the King James says selfish envy and strife. But it's really selfish ambition. See, in a family, the family is to be one. There'd be one unit, one family unit, one unity in the family. Harmony, agreement, accord. When there's envy and strife, it's usually somebody going want to go this way, somebody want to go that way. It's a conflict of interest. It's self-seeking. Selfish ambition is only thinking about its three favorite people. Me, myself, and I. But you got to deal with those wrong spirits immediately. Why? Because the devil doesn't like to just say, well, I'll let you have the lazy boy, but give me the remote control. No, he wants the remote control plus the lazy boy, plus the living room, plus the master bedroom, plus the bathroom, plus the whole house. So when you set your love upon the Lord, you desire to love others as he loves them, but you also step out of love. You don't want to step out of love. When you step out of love, you're stepping into Satan's territory. Listen to me very closely. Every step out of love is a step out of God. So strife, unforgiveness, rebellion, pride are all tools of the devil uses to come into your home and stir up trouble. His purpose, to divide and destroy your home. So you think, well, we can just fuss and argue. We can just let the kids talk to us any kind of way, disrespectfully or dishonor speech going on in the house. What are you doing? Son, daughter, grandson, granddaughter, you're violating your covenant of protection. Amen. So you got to stop all this stuff. These attitudes and situations that cause destruction. So sometimes you got to say, spirit of strife, unforgiveness, pride, get out of my home in the name of Jesus. But see, God expects you to do your part. You got to fill your atmosphere. You got to protect your atmosphere, and you got to deal with the enemy. The third one, you got to cover your home with the anointing. Or anointed with oil. I know it's a little weird how I did a mistype there, but you're supposed to anoint and cover your home with oil. So you need to anoint and cover your home with oil. Is your home anointed, ladies and gentlemen? Oil represents the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a symbol of faith in God's ability to cleanse or make holy and an act of consecrating your home to him. Now, how many of you clean your room or clean your house, clean your apartment? Hopefully everybody raise their hand. How many of you clean your body? But how many of you anoint and cover your home? Now, sometimes, you know, many, particularly the ladies, guys do it too. We put aftershave on. We anoint ourselves with aftershave. It means to cover. We put lotion on, do we not?
Yes.
We cover ourselves, but you got your house covered. You pray that only his will be done, and everything that's said and done in your home will be pleasing to him. Isn't that right? Why? Because the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Now the third one, the fifth one is draw bloodline. Everybody say draw bloodline. Now everybody likes to draw, right? But how many of you draw on a bloodline around your house? Walk around your fence and your property line and say, in the name of Jesus, I draw a bloodline around this house, around this property. I draw a bloodline. Everybody say, draw a bloodline. You get to do that regularly. I do it a lot of times when I'm cutting the grass. Because that way I can go, you know, fence to fence. We just heard the song during the offertory. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Because what? There's nothing in us or happening to us that the blood can't cleanse. There's nothing that the blood can't cure or change or correct. Isn't that good?
Yes,
praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Everybody says blood. There's power in the blood.
Power.
Now, how do you activate the blood? The ingredients of the blood also are activated by faith. If you go to court, the judge will ask you, what's your plea? You plead guilty? Or you plead not guilty? Or sometimes they go in the middle. No contest. But in this case, you need to plead the blood. When evil's happening around, you need to put the bloodline back down. I'll say it again. When evil's happening around, you need to put the bloodline. There's power, wonder-working power, where? In the blood of the Lamb. All right? So I need a kid again. Who's my volunteer? Raise your hand. Not my angels. You're already going to help me in a minute. Anybody else? I'm looking at kids back here. I've already used two. Veronica, you want to come? Come, Ronnie. Come on, Ronnie. Everybody say, go, Ronnie. Come on. Oh, no, I need a kid. Hurry. Is she coming? Okay. All right, Cookie. Everybody say, Cookie. All right. Give me that. All right. The blood. So Cookie's going to attempt to draw a bloodline around this house, this little model house, just in case you can't see it online. So here we give her a countdown. 1, 2, 3, go. Don't get it on my paper. Don't get ketchup on the floor. Cookie, you're messing up. Come on, it's not coming out. What's going on? Cookie's discovered the problem. What's the problem? Don't take it out. What's the problem? It's not activated. This is the way many people are not activating the blood. Now, we're going to pretend this is open, but we got new carpet, so we don't want anything happening. So, Cookie, go ahead and put the bloodline, put the top back on. So we're going to print it. You got to put it around your house. I'm going to give you a story in just a second. So everybody say, go, Cookie. All right, good. Everybody say, thank you, Cookie. All right, there you go. Thank you for helping me. Appreciate you. Come on, let's give her a bigger hand. You got to put the bloodline. I want to give you a visual of that. Because he told Abraham, everywhere your foot treads, I've given it to you. But guess what the devil wants? He wants to take it back from you. Because he said he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Three things the devil, John 10:10, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Don't think he's going to buddy up to you if you allow him to sit on the couch with you. He's not going to buddy up. He's there to steal something, kill something, and destroy something. Now, there's a story I want to tell you. It's an outstanding story as I was studying this. A minister who was an evangelist was preaching real good in meetings, getting people saved, getting people to commit their lives to Christ and come to Jesus Christ. And meetings were going real good. But the devil gets mad. How many know the devil gets mad? He gets angry when you follow God. When you swear your allegiance to Jesus Christ, he said, I'm going to get you. And Jesus didn't mince any words. He said, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and what? Then destroy. And so what did the devil tell this man, this evangelist? He said, there's some foxes around your house and property. I'm going to put rabies in them, and I'm going to have them attack your kids and K-I-L-L your kids. So he went home, and he went to his family and said, let's get an agreement. Everybody said agreement. Is a place of power. So they went around and agreed, and he walked his property line just like Cookie showed us. He walked around his house and put a bloodline around his house. He said 3 weeks later, everybody said 3 weeks later, they went on a trip again and went to a meeting and came back, and he found one, two, three, four, five. Everybody say five. Dead foxes were in the exact place where he had put the bloodline around his property and around his house. Everybody said he was divinely protected. He was divinely protected. And it's right, he said, those foxes could not cross the bloodline. See, the devil means to do you evil, but God will keep you protected for his good. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. Now dispatch your angels. So I got my angels. Angels, let's go. Oh, they're not ready. Come on, angels. All right. All right. Let's look at verse 11 while they're getting ready. He will give his angels to protect you wherever you go. So everybody say, I'm protected under God's protection covenant everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. That means you go to work, you go to the store, you go to HEB, you go to Walmart. You know, some people are so afraid of somebody spitting on them, breathing on them, coughing on them, or whatever, and they walk around trying to be scared. I don't want to get out of the house. You're everybody say, you're protected? Everywhere you go. You go to the doctor's office. You go to another office. You go anywhere. You're protected everywhere you go. Everybody say, I'm protected by the angels. Everywhere I go. On 410, I-35, I-10, 151, all the highways and byways, the angels are around you. Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, most of us have at least one or two angels. When you're born and when you're born again, God assigns you angels. Thank you, Gabrielle. Thank you, John. Everybody say, thank you. Just give them a hand. And so the angels stay with you. Now, the Bible says this in Hebrews, that the angels are sent to minister for you. So if you've ever been a boss or a manager, that means they work for you. They're sent from heaven for you. They're your heavenly assistants. But one of their big jobs is to protect you. And so they're going to pass out a little puzzle for the kids. Psalms 91. So go get your puzzle from your grandmother. And then you're going to pass around to all the kids. Now, what do we want? When we have children's church again, we want you to bring this back to your children's church teachers, all filled out. This puzzle. And it has Psalms 91 completion thing, a little puzzle on the back. So just complete it out, and we'll be a blessing to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Angels need to be assigned and given their protection assignment every day. Are your angels on assignment? Pastor, you blowing my mind. You talking about angels. I ain't never even seen an angel. Never even thought about an angel. Well, they're there, and most of them are standing there doing this. When are they going to wake up? When are they going to put me to work? Because the Bible says they excel in strength, and they hearken to God's voice of his word. So when you say Psalms 91 every day, the angel says, okay, we got our assignment. Full coverage protection. Wherever they go. Somebody say, wherever they go. Ministering spirits, go and cause traveling mercies to happen to me. Hallelujah. Somebody say, glory to God. All right, I got something for John and Gabrielle. Did they quit already? They're not to be unassigned. All right, come on, let's give her a hand for helping us. Thank you, Gabriella. Where's John? Okay, he went to go do some more extra work. Okay. All right, thank you. Doesn't he look sharp? Come on. Come on, John. Come on, run. Quick. Praise God. Let's say thank you, John. All right, praise God. All right, so you dispatch angels. Somebody say glory to God. Now, I have a little video clip. Can we play it, or is it authorized or available to play? Okay. We're going to play a video clip from Jerry Savelle. Talk about angel intervention, supernatural intervention. Go ahead, guys. It's a blessing.
Supernatural provision. Amen. Somebody say, I don't believe that. Well, if you don't believe that, then you're going to really struggle with this one. I had to go back to Oklahoma City another time, but by this time, we got a better car. We now driving a 1969 Pontiac Bonneville that we got from Brother Copeland. And it's a nice car. Man, we going to Oklahoma City in our nice car now. And got up there and got with relatives, and they wanted me to stay. I don't get to see my relatives that much, and they wanted us to stay, but we had to be back by the next morning. And so we stayed as late as we could with them, and then we started back to Fort Worth. So the girls went to sleep in the back seat. Carolyn is asleep in the front seat, and I'm driving. I filled the car up. I'd learned to say fill her up now. And I filled the car up. And we left Oklahoma City. And we get out in the middle of nowhere about 1 o'clock in the morning. And they're all asleep. And I hear this loud noise under my car. I ran over something in the highway. And I guess I didn't see it. And it hit the bottom of the car, made a loud noise, woke Carolyn up. She said, what was that? I said, I don't know. I guess I hit something in the road. And I said, but it's okay. Just going back to sleep. So she laid her head back down to sleep. So I'm driving along there, and I just happen to look down at my gas gauge, and it's doing this. I thought, whatever I hit in that on the highway back there, it's knocked a hole in my gas tank. And I pulled off the side of the road, and I watched all the gas, the rest of the gas that was in my car, just pour out on the highway. There was a gash that long in the gas tank. Now here it is, nearly 2 o'clock in the morning, out in the middle of nowhere in Oklahoma, you know, and what are you going to do? I don't know how far back it is to the town I just came through. I don't know how far it is to the next town. I don't want to get out walking to this somewhere, try to find some help, and leave my family out there on that highway at 2 o'clock in the morning. And there was nobody was traveling. There was no cars coming or going. And so we just, you know, we said, God, we got to have help. Send us some help. And so we just kind of sat there in the car, and I'm watching in the rearview mirror to see if anybody comes up, watching for headlights. It was quite a while. Finally, I saw some headlights in the distance. So I grabbed my flashlight, I got out of the car, and I walked up in front of the car, and I held the flashlight out like this. I didn't want to get out in the highway and take a chance that guy not see me. So I'm standing in front of my car doing the flashlight like this, and the guy stops, pulls in right behind me in a pickup truck. He gets out, and he said, what do you need? I told him what happened, and his exact words were, that's what I'm here for. I said, can you help me? He said, that's what I'm here for. He got a chain out of the back of his truck, hooked it to the back of his truck, front of my car, and he told us, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 miles. We got off the highway. We went across the highway to a little service station, and right next door was a little cafe. Looked like they'd been built in the 40s, you know, and that was it. Now, I'm sure there was a town, you know, a little further down that road, but right there on the highway, that was it, a little small station and a little cafe. He pulled us up to that station, and he reached in his pocket, took out a set of keys, and he unlocked the door to the station, flipped the lights on, opened the door to the garage area, raised the overhead door. He and I pushed my car in there. He took the gas tank off. He repaired the tank, put it back on. We pushed it out to the pump. He filled my car up, and then he wouldn't take any money, and he kept saying, "That's what I'm here for." I said, "Sir, please, let me pay you for all of this." I said, "Man, you were a major blessing to us. I don't know what we'd have done if you hadn't showed up." He said, "That's what I'm here for." He wouldn't take anything. So we got in the car and drove home. Well, about not more than 6 months later, I got to go back to Oklahoma City. So I'm determined I'm going to stop at that little station and just thank that man again. So I'm watching for it. I see it. So I pull off the highway, and I walk up there to that station. It's locked up, closed, you know. And it's the afternoon. I figured he'd be open, but nobody's there. So I went next door to the cafe. I said, "Sir, do you know the man that owns the station next door?" He said, "Son, that station's been closed for years." I said, "No, sir. Just about 3 months ago, a man repaired my car there and filled my car up with gas." He said, "Son, that station been closed for years. Those pumps are dry. There hadn't been any gas in those pumps in years." He said, there's not even any electricity over there. The power's been turned off for years." I said, "No, sir. I was here a few months ago, and a man flipped the lights on. He put my car inside, repaired my car, filled my car up with gas." He said, "Son, I don't know what you're talking about, but it couldn't have been here." I said, "Yes, sir. I remember the name of your cafe." And he just kept saying, it could not have happened here. So I got in my car, and I'm driving off. I said, "Lord, I know that's where this happened." He said, "It was." I said, "Then what happened?" He said, "Didn't I tell you that there might be times you would entertain angels?" Amen. You know what I found out that night? I found out angels have keys that open stations that have been shut for years. I found out angels can turn on electricity when there is no power. I found out angels can get fuel out of tanks that have been dry for years. What are you worried about? I said, "What are you worried about? What's keeping you up all night? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister unto those who are heirs of salvation?" Look at your neighbor and say, "What are you worrying about? You got the angels working for you."
What are you worrying about? You got the angels working for you. All right.
Wouldn't you call that supernatural provision?
Isn't that good? All of us have angels. Put your angels to work. Commission them to go on assignment to protect you everywhere you go. Wasn't that good?
Yes.
The last point there, number 7, pray and speak the word as we close. His truth shall be your shield. My God. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth." Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. "Thy word is truth." Now, there's a lot of facts out there. A lot of figures you have to deal with. A lot of faces and names that we have to deal with, confront. But the truth still stands forever. Thy truth is thy shield and buckler. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
That means he's going to protect your house with his word. Like a shield. Going to cover you up completely. Nothing can get in it. No foe can withstand. Are you covered up? Now, see, Job, as we close, Job lifted his own cover off because Satan went and told God, "God, you got a hedge around Job. You're protecting Job, him, his body, his house, his family, all his business, all his possessions. It's protected. Of course, God's got a great protection plan. It's a full coverage plan. But Job did this. What did this for Job? In Job 3:25, that which I feared, greatly feared, has come upon me. And that which I was afraid of, which I dreaded, basically, has come into my life. Your fear will deactivate the covenant of protection. Your disobedience to God's word or his will let down your hedge of protection. Don't do that. Because you'll cause the enemy of destruction to come into your life and destroy your house. And destroy your finances. And destroy your family. Would you receive Jesus and the Lord as your refuge today? And your protection. Would you stand with me, please? Y'all get something out of that today?
Yes.
Father, we just thank you. We just praise you. We bless you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, your kindness, your faithfulness, your love. We thank you that you're so good. You're so good and gracious. Thank you for giving us a simple but illustrative outline and concept of your full coverage protection covenant in our lives. Forgive us, dear Father God, if we've stepped across the line into the arena of fear, or we've allowed our environments to allow Satan to have his full reign in our hearts and our homes. We ask you to forgive us, Lord, for letting the hedge of protection come down or be taken down around our heart, our house, and this house. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Now, with every head